The early friends from the 1600s, such as George Fox, Robert Barclay, and William Penn, believed they were reviving primitive Christianity as experienced by the early church and recorded in the New Testament scriptures. Both the early Quakers and the first century Christians certainly had similar challenges from repressive religious and secular authorities. Both were living into a time of expanded understanding of how God was acting in the world. Both groups were trying to adjust themselves to new ways that God was leading them to live. This Sunday, we're focusing on stewardship, which can be defined as the responsibility of taking care of and managing the resources that God has given us. One of Jesus' parables taught that stewards are accountable for how they use what God has entrusted to them, so we should pay attention. And there are several types of resources we are responsible for: our time, our talent, and what the kingdoms of the world consider treasure. The early Quakers realized they had an inner guide. They identified this inner guide as the seed of God within, which, by God's grace, makes possible the divine human encounter directly with every individual, no middlemen needed. This seed was also referred to as the light of Christ within, or that of God in everyone, which John chapter 1, verse 9 reminds us enlightens every person. In James chapter 4, verse 5, we are told that God yearns jealously for the spirit that he has made to dwell in us. So, how's that for some responsibility? God values the spirit greatly. We best take care of the spirit within us, listen for it, and follow it, and certainly not put it under the proverbial bushel basket. And here's another responsibility. Jesus told Peter to feed my lambs, tend my sheep, and feed my sheep. Notice the progression of lambs growing into sheep. Everyone needs sustained food, care, and a shepherd to grow. Jesus reinforced this when he reminded his disciples to love one another as I have loved you. We all at times need varying kinds of love, care, and support. Are we ready both to give or receive help? In addition to the inner spirit, in Barclay's apology, we are reminded that there are revelations from the Spirit of God to the saints in the scriptures, an historical account of the actings of God's people in diverse ages. In scripture, we find one such historical example or role model in the book of Acts. His real name was Joseph, but the apostles gave him the nickname Barnabas, which translates to son of encouragement. He was described as a kind, generous, warm-hearted person. Barnabas is mentioned 29 times in the book of Acts and 5 times in Paul's letters. He was a Levite, the tribe chosen to represent God, and made himself ready to help not just within the Jewish community, but beyond to the Gentiles. In Acts, we're told that Barnabas advocated for Saul with the apostles in Jerusalem, and later advocated for John Mark to Paul. He stood for both of these workers when others were unsure of their abilities or unsure of their intentions. His advocacy proved correct. Paul and John Mark ended up being successful in ministry, and both contributed books we include in the New Testament. Additionally, Barnabas was instrumental in increasing and strengthening the congregation in Antioch, which was the first recorded place where believers were called Christians. Barnabas was also called a prophet and teacher, but he humbly let others take the credit. In Acts, he is documented as taking part in mission trips to Iconium, to Lystra, Derbe, Pisidia, Pamphylia, Phrygia, Attalia, Phoenicia, Samaria, Cyprus, Syria, and Cilicia. I counted 12 there. Barnabas certainly shared of himself generously. But the first mention of Barnabas in Acts chapter 4 is where he had just sold a field and brought the proceeds to the apostles to distribute as any had need. Very generous. But in addition, this sale would have entailed a loss of status as part of the governing class, since only landowners could participate in making governing decisions. Then, surprisingly, he handed the proceeds to former fishermen, allowing them to decide how to distribute what he gave. But this was also beneficial for him. By dropping this temporal responsibility, he allowed himself to spend of himself more fully in ministry, teaching and encouraging so many in the early congregations. What an example of stewardship and an example of sharing all his gifts for the benefit of others and the furtherance of Jesus' message. The early Quakers in the 1600s showed this same level of stewardship as they strove to emulate the first century Christians. They stood up boldly in churches and on the streets, sharing messages which were not often received well. They refused to pay the imposed tithes to support what they viewed as apostate religions. They refused to show class honor to people who had not earned honor. They were not just being ornery, they were working to refocus people toward God and his kingdom. They confronted every sphere of life, economic, social, political, and religious, by modeling Jesus' radical example of questioning those in power and conducting themselves in the way Jesus had, showing how God would act if God was a person. The friends were turning the world upside down, seeking to elevate God's kingdom here on earth above the kingdoms of the world and to soften the damage from those kingdoms. Many friends had been thrown into prison, but friends on the outside visited and kept them fed, since that was not the jailer's responsibility. Others stood up and advocated for their release and for reform of the prisons. They looked for other ways to overcome injustice, not only for other Quakers, but for the poor and also women. There were also the early Quaker missionaries known as the Valiant 60, who boldly spent of themselves on mission trips, traveling to preach and teach others. Some were able to afford to do this on their own. Others were helped out of funds given to support the missionaries. Even though everyone might not have been able to imitate Barnabas in all aspects of ministry, individually, they could each step up and do what they could. Any service to the kingdom is still service. They were fighting the Lamb's War, and their weapon was the peace testimony. They accepted seriously the conclusion of the author of the book of James. True faith, issued in practical works, reflected a witness of undivided commitment. They strove to use themselves to promote equality, justice, mercy, as well as to stand in solidarity with humanity and creation. And here we are in the 21st century. Our world certainly continues to be in flux. The temporal kingdoms continue to draw our attention away from God's kingdom and his values. Adjustments are continually needed. We, individually and as a congregation, need to continue to examine if we are following where the Spirit is leading, where the Spirit is blowing, to make sure we are being good stewards by making beneficial use of the gifts God has given us. We continually hold our lives up to the Spirit and trust the Spirit will guide us to a reasonable balance. Guide us to effective use of the gifts we have been entrusted with, our time, which God has given us, our talents, which God has encouraged us to cultivate, and our treasure, which God has allowed us to work for, to receive, and to share.